Goodness.
So, tell me something. Do any of you have a dad that would do that to you? Oh, whoa, there's way more than I thought. You poor kids. So how does that make you feel? You like shrivel up. Some of you guys like it. Don't even lie. How many of you would totally freak out if your dad did that to you? No way. You guys are like in different generations. Only a few of you guys are like, yeah, I hope my dad would scream at me in front of all my friends. Wow, you're weird. So that would freak me out. Like I would throw up all the way to my classroom if my dad did that to me out of like nerves when I was a kid. So I have to tell you this story. Have you ever been in a situation that just made you really, really embarrassed? Like embarrassed, like you want to go hide embarrassed. You're like, yeah, of course, like every day. All right. So here's my story one day of when I was super embarrassed, okay? My first day teaching, right? So I had just got back from like Guatemala. I was back in the United States, got my job here at MICS. I was gonna teach Spanish. And it was my very first day. So I was like decked out, you know, I had like my nice fancy clothes on to be an adult and all, you know, and I go into class. And just before my first class, like I'm setting up all the little stacks of paper on the desks. You know, your teachers actually care about having like nice, neat classrooms. And I'm getting everything all set up and it's ready. And I'm about to wait, like, as my first kids are gonna come in the classroom. I go up to the board before they come in and I take that marker and I write my name, Mr. Jones. Actually, it was Spanish. I wrote Señor Jones on the board, okay? And I put the marker down and I turn like this to go sit in my desk and wait for my students. And you know those like whiteboards have that metal tray that's like where you put the marker? So as I turned, it like hit the back of my pants and it was sharp and tore my pants straight across. And it just like, it was like those little babies wear, you know, it's like they like a little flap in the back, you know, so you go to the bathroom. That's what my pants looked like. So just my pants just go bloop, and I'm like, ah. It's like I knew immediately what happened, and I'm like, what do I do? It's my first day of school. I can't go home. We haven't even started class. So I just like, I'm up against the wall, you know, like a prisoner escaping from prison in the spotlights, and I'm like sliding across the wall to my desk, and I sit down, and I stayed in my seat the entire day, never got up. I had to go to the bathroom so bad, and I couldn't even get up because I was so embarrassed. Like, I don't know if you've ever been in a moment like that of like embarrassment to where you just want to go hide somewhere. But tonight, what we're talking about, because we started a new series last week. If you weren't here, it's called We Start Fires. And the whole point is Paul, this awesome guy named Paul who plants churches in the Bible, wrote a ton of the Bible. He's writing to this young guy named Timothy. And Timothy's a young pastor who's in this difficult church with older people that are trying to like boss him around. And it's like this crazy situation. On top of that, people are getting put in prison for saying the name Jesus, right? And saying he rose from the dead. So it's a difficult time to be a pastor. So Paul writes in this letter to encourage him, and he's like, Timothy, here's what you need to do. And last week, what he said to him was basically, start a fire. That's why we're calling the series We Start Fires. He says that there is a gift of God inside of you, spirit and love, I mean, of love, of power, and a sound mind. And that gift, he says, you need, it's like this little spark, and you need to fan it, blow some air on it, get that thing to just blaze. And you know how you do that? You know how the fanning's done? He says, by trusting Jesus, by taking steps that might be scary, that might make you want to go hide in a room. By saying yes to Jesus when he's telling you to go, you can fan that flame and you start a fire. And then all of a sudden, you start fires in the people around you because they see it and they're encouraged and they're like, I want to follow Jesus too. And so, as he says that, we get to this week, right? And it's the next verse, it's verse 8. We're in 2 Timothy 1:8 tonight. Paul tells Timothy this. Are you ready? He says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. So here he tells Timothy, hey, listen, fan that flame, start a fire, get passionate for Jesus, not because you can, but it's done by just trusting God. And then all of a sudden, he has to stop right there and he uses that big word at the beginning. Did you hear it? Therefore. And I go, what does that mean? He's saying, because you have this gift, because you have the ability to start this fire, he's saying, listen, don't be ashamed. You might think it's easy to go out into the community and start telling people that you believe a dude lived 2,000 years ago. that he was actually God's son, and that he died on a cross, and then he rose again from the dead miraculously 3 days later and is still alive today. I mean, most people are going to look at you and go, you're crazy. Have you read a science book? And so a lot of Christians, especially new Christians, are going out there and they're like, listen, like, I don't know if I can tell people that. I'm embarrassed to say I believe a guy rose from the dead. And Paul's like, do you really believe he did? Do you really believe he rose from the dead? Because being a believer in Jesus Christ and finding salvation is placing your trust in the fact that Jesus really rose from the dead. You can't start a fire on your own. You can't get yourself passionate about Jesus on your own. You have to really believe Jesus is alive and has the power to do it in your heart, or it's not going to happen. Jesus has to do it. And so that's why the first thing Paul says with this awesome gift of power and love and self-control, he says, here's how you use it. Don't be ashamed. Now, we've all had those moments of like embarrassment and shame, right? There are probably things tonight that you're sitting in your seat and you're thinking right now about the things you're ashamed about or that embarrass you, maybe about yourself. Maybe it's like, man, I have these big floppy ears. I don't want people to see them. So I walk around like this all the day, or like a bunch of people just touch your ears. I'm sorry if I hit a sore spot. Like, I don't mean it. Your ears are great. But you know what I'm saying? We got them. We got these things. And they pile up and they build up in your mind and you think about them. But Jesus says, you have no reason to be ashamed of me. I really rose from the dead. It's the truth. It's something that you can bank your entire life on, your entire eternity on, and trust I am alive today in this room with you. We're not just singing songs to each other. We're not just up here doing this thing because we think you need to hear some music tonight. We're singing to Jesus, who is here in the room with us, alive, God himself present. And as we sing, we're telling him, we're not ashamed of you. We love you. We praise you. We worship you. And what Paul's saying here is that if you really have that gift God gave you, you don't need to be ashamed. You don't need to be embarrassed of him. You don't need to be shy or fearful when it comes to talking about Jesus, because, not because you're not a shy person, because I'm a very shy person. Not because you're whatever your personality is that holds you back, but because Jesus is alive. That's what gives you the power to go talk to people. That's what gives you the power to overcome your shyness or your fear or your shame. The fact that he really is alive and it really is true. So you have to believe that for this thing to happen. And what he's really saying here is go all in. We're starting this thing. Here's a shirt, by the way. I don't know if you noticed, but this is the new shirt and it's pretty awesome. It'd be better if there was like a better model up here. Sorry, it's me, but right? Like this, it's a cool shirt, right? The point of the shirt, though, is this. That you have the courage to say, look, I'm not the only one today doing this. When you wake up on that Tuesday or whatever day your life group decides to do this, and you go, I'm putting this shirt on, it's not because the shirt's magical and it's going to help you. It's just a reminder to say, there are other kids, my leader, other adults, maybe my youth pastor, maybe that day I'm wearing it, and to that day we're stepping up together going, today, I'm not going to be ashamed of Jesus. And hopefully we do that every day, right? But this shirt is just a help. It's just a reminder that that day I'm going to be intentional to say, I'm talking to people about Christ and I'm not going to be ashamed. And in order to do this, y'all, what Paul's saying here is we have to be committed. There has to be commitment. You can't do it unless you're committed. And if you're full of shame and you're embarrassed, that's the best thing to cut away all your commitment, to stop you from saying yes. Because you go, I just can't do it today. I'll do it next week. And you'll put it off, or you're being too embarrassed about it, or you won't want to go and have that conversation with your friend. You're like, well, Rob, I'm a nervous person. How do I stop that? Well, he already told you. You trust Jesus. Wherever you're at on that scale, some of you guys aren't nervous at all. Like, you're already out the door doing this. But you too, you need to trust Jesus and not yourself and your talking skills and the fact that you're charismatic and friendly and whatever else. Don't do it in your own strength. You too need to trust Jesus. And if you're super shy, like, I don't even know if I can do it. every time, even if it's the smallest thing, that you go, God, I'm scared and I'm shy, but I'll do it. You know what's happening in your heart? Your faith goes, it gets bigger. Because you took a step that you didn't know you could do. You were like, I don't think I can do this. And then God shows you, you can. And when you see God step in and help you do something you're not capable of, your faith grows. And every time you take that step, it gets bigger and stronger. And that's what he wants to do in you. That's how the fire starts. That's how it grows. You take those steps of faith, even when you're scared or shy or nervous or even ashamed, and you say, nope, I have no reason to be. Jesus really is alive today. And so that's what we're doing. He says, you got to be committed. You got to be willing to say, yes, I'm all in on this thing. I'll do this. And then he says this, don't be ashamed of the testimony. Do you guys know what a testimony is? A testimony is this, like, where you come forward and go on record to say, I personally experienced this thing to be true. I witnessed Logan ate a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I didn't really, but today for lunch, I saw it with my own eyes, right? That's a testimony. I saw it with my eyes. I was there. There was an experience that I could say, yes, I know this happened. And so what it's saying here is don't be ashamed of this testimony of Jesus. Well, you're like, how do I have that? How do I go on record? Because Jesus has saved you. You've had a personal experience with the power of Jesus if you follow Jesus today. The Holy Spirit has grabbed your heart and convinced you that you need God, that you're a sinner and you're broken and that only God can save you. And then you responded and said, God, save me, forgive me. I give you my heart and my life. I want to be yours. That's an experience with Christ, his power changing you, transforming you, making you brand new. And so it's a testimony to say, I know, personally know, Jesus is alive. I saw him in my life. I see him when I wake up and he's there for me and I pray, or when I read the word and I hear him speak to me through his word. When the Holy Spirit talks to my heart throughout the day, I know he's there. I'm experiencing Jesus. He's alive. And so it's this living testimony that you've experienced the fact that Christ really is alive. So first thing in that is this. You have to have actually experienced Christ. If you've never given him your heart, you can't do that. You can't give a testimony because you've never known him to be alive. You've never bumped into him and met him and given him your life. And so for you, there's no way you can give a testimony. The first step for you is to say, I want to know him. I want to have that experience with him. I want to see him and hear his voice and experience Jesus. And second would be, are you willing to speak about it? Are you willing to step up and tell others that it's true once you have experienced it? See, those are the two big things that would hold you back from sharing your testimony about Christ. Either you haven't met him, or you're living in fear and you're not willing to tell people that you have met him, that he's alive and he's working in your life. So he says of the testimony, but not just anyone, the testimony about our Lord. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. This testimony is that Jesus died on a cross for you and me. That Jesus rose from the dead for you and me and is alive today. That Jesus can forgive you and make you right with God forever and give you eternal life. This statement that he makes about him being our Lord is more than just some guy walking down the street. It's about the fact that Jesus is creator of heaven and earth and has changed your entire life and made you brand new. You know, when we do baptisms here, you probably have seen all the students that wear that shirt that says brand new. And we use that phrase to continually remind ourselves that that's the work Jesus is doing in you. He's not just kind of like fixing little things and polishing this off or wiping a little dirt off of you. Jesus is taking you and making you absolutely, completely, and totally brand spanking new. He's not using the old stuff. He's making you a child of God, a brand new identity and purpose. And you go in that water and it's dying to your old self and your old identity and coming up alive, brand new, is the picture that we see as we do baptism. And that's what Paul's saying. Start that fire, get rid of the shame, and go tell people that you are not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I love that we celebrate baptism because it means that there are students in this room who are willing to do what Paul's saying right here in this passage. You're willing to come forward and say, I've met Jesus and I'm not ashamed of him. Y'all, we live in a world that is totally ashamed of Christ. We live in a world that makes fun of people like us for sitting here talking about the fact that a guy could rise from the dead. A world that thinks science has disproven that. But it's a guy that I wake up to every single morning and I'm able to speak with. It's a God that speaks back to me. I can open his word and hear his Holy Spirit. I experience him personally every day. How can they tell me he's not alive? I know he is. And when you come forward and you're baptized, what you're saying is, I have believed in Jesus and I'm not ashamed. For some of you, that's your first step in this. You know, Paul's trying to tell us to live a life that way. Not just make it like a moment, like just that Tuesday when I put this shirt on, but let that be your life. So every morning you wake up and you're like, I want to tell people about Christ because it's the coolest thing I could talk about. It's the best news I've ever heard. That it be your lifestyle, that it be the thing that's always on your lips. And for some of you, it's you haven't even taken the first step yet. You've pushed off this baptism that Jesus says is that first step you take to tell people about who he is, to say you're not ashamed, and you're still pushing that aside. Maybe because you're ashamed or embarrassed. Maybe because you're shy. I don't know the reasons, but I know that Paul would say, take the first step. Before you jump forward and you start doing the shirt thing, maybe you need to come forward in front of your peers here in Firehouse and say, I believe. You guys might not have even known that about me, but I do believe in Jesus and I'm not ashamed and I need to be baptized so you know it. Maybe for others, you've been baptized for a long time. Maybe tonight the Lord's like, hey, listen, enough is enough. Do you believe in me or not? Are you ashamed of me or not? Would you start fires with me? Would you get up and say, God, you're the greatest thing I've ever laid eyes on. Greatest thing in my life I've ever experienced, that I want people to know you. And maybe for you, that's what you need to do tonight. See, I'll take that stand and be committed. Now, Paul says something else as he closes. Listen to the end of this verse. He says, about our Lord, but nor of me. So he's saying, don't be ashamed of our Lord, but don't be ashamed of me either. And you're like, wait, what does Paul have to do with this thing? Why are they ashamed of Paul? Well, see, Paul had just been arrested. So this dude that they're all saying like, hey, this guy showed up and he told us about this awesome guy named Jesus who's the Son of God and he died for us and could save us. And they're like, wait, you mean the dude who's in jail? That's who you're trusting? That's the guy you're listening to? And Paul's like, hey, listen, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed that I'm sitting here. I wasn't arrested for lying. I was arrested for telling the truth. He says, nor of me. Do you know how important it is that we encourage each other and support each other? That's why we're doing this thing together, this t-shirt thing. Because even Paul says it right here. Paul needs their encouragement. They each need to encourage one another to say, go out and do this. For you to get together with some people from your school and say, come on, let's all go to school on Tuesday. And together, we'll all wear their shirt and encourage each other. Well, I don't know if you're allowed to text at school, but whatever you got to do to encourage each other throughout the day. Pray for each other, sit together, stand in the hall, whatever it is you need to do to say, we're in this together, you can do this. Be courageous. Jesus is worth it. It's just, Paul says, don't be ashamed of me either. This is great news that I'm sitting here for. He says, his prisoner. It's like Paul's literally just blurting it out, like, I'm not a prisoner of Rome. I'm not a prisoner of this government. They think I am because I'm sitting in their cage. I'm a prisoner of Jesus. In other words, I chose to be here. I knew what would happen if I preached the gospel, but you know what? It's worth it. It's worth sitting here. It's worth the mocking and the beating and getting beat around and having to eat this garbage food and have rats run over me and be locked up in chains. It's worth it because Jesus is real and he's alive and people didn't know that so they can be saved. He said, I'm not their prisoner. I'm the prisoner of Jesus because I want to be. And he says this, but share in suffering. Don't be ashamed, but share in suffering. I know that it's hard to hear a message in most churches today in America 2021 that is going to say anything besides like, hey, come to church so you can feel better. Let me just motivate you. Let me get you up and help you reach your goals and your dreams and have a better life. I know that that's mostly what churches are preaching on today. And you will rarely hear someone say, a pastor from a pulpit, that when you sign up to follow Jesus, you're signing up to suffer. Most people don't like to talk about that. Most people don't like to hear that. Like, who wants to suffer? But the truth is that you will meet resistance if you follow Jesus. I'm not going to lie to you about that. But it'll be the greatest thing you have ever done with your life. And Jesus promises not to take away all the suffering, but to be there with you every step of the way. There will be friends that probably will make fun of you. Scientific-minded, educated people that look at you and go, you seriously believe that religious stuff? Who knows what your life brings? But if you're following Jesus, it will be a success. If you're following Jesus, he will be there with you every step of the way. You know how I know that? Look at this next part. He says, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Here's how I know that your life will be a success, even in suffering. Because you're empowered by God himself when you do this. Do you know how much power God has? It's infinite. It's unlimited. It's unequaled. So if you are fighting in the power of God, you cannot fail because his power cannot be broken. Doesn't mean you won't suffer. Doesn't mean that everything will go right in your eyes, but it does mean that God's plan will be accomplished in and through you. He will never turn his back on you. He will never abandon you, and he will never fail you. It's worth it, y'all. Page after page in the Bible, there are people that are sitting there telling us, hey, I suffered, it's true, but it was so worth it. Because at the end of the day, this is only a few short years on this planet. And I'm going to have eternity at the side of Jesus in paradise forever to look forward to. I'm not telling you it's an easy call. Jesus doesn't say it was. But I will tell you it's worth it. You guys probably know the story of the Apostle Peter. And in Mark 14, verse 72, it says, and immediately the rooster crowed a second time. Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And he broke down and wept. Here's Peter, who was this like big, tough fisherman, who's like, I'll never fail you, Jesus. He was one of Jesus' like right-hand men. He did ministry with Jesus, saw him do miracles, all this incredible stuff. He was so close to Jesus himself, the Son of God. And yet when it came down to it, as Jesus is being on trial and people are asking him, do you know him? Aren't you that guy who hung out with him? You know what he's doing? I don't know him. No idea. And he's walking away. He's hiding out of shame, just like we talked about at the beginning. One of his closest friends, an apostle, starts off doubting and being ashamed of Jesus Christ. But do you know how his story ends? He's forgiven. And God uses him to plant so many churches, to help write this very Bible that we're reading. He becomes this incredible force for the kingdom of God. You might be here tonight and you're like, man, I'm nervous. I'm embarrassed about it a little bit. I'm ashamed. How will I ever get there? That's not the question. The question is, will you take the first step to get there? Just like Peter. Who knows what God's going to do with you? The plans that he has for you can be unbelievable if you'll take the first step that you could take tonight. And you could say, Jesus, I'm all in. I'm committed. And for some of you, that's being baptized. It's just saying, I'm not ashamed in front of your peers. And for others, it's saying, I'm ready to take that step and step out into this community and tell people, I believe in Jesus Christ and I am not ashamed. He is alive today. Will you stand up and be committed, be bold? Will you depend on the power of God to do it and not yourself? That's what Paul's asking Timothy tonight. Will you close your eyes with me and bow your heads? As you sit there, I just want you to ask yourself that question and just be honest. Like maybe you're the one who you've trusted Jesus, but you've never been baptized. You keep putting it off. And if you were honest with yourself, you're embarrassed or you're shy or you're letting excuses dictate that you're not going to do it. I'd ask you tonight, would you just be honest with the Lord and say, God, are you calling me to talk to Rob after this and just sign up and get baptized? I want my friends to know. I want my peers to know I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Maybe that's you and you need to be baptized. Or maybe you're here tonight and you have not ever received Jesus as your Savior. Like you're hearing all this about this awesome guy who's willing to forgive you and make you right with God, but it's never happened for you. You've never met him. Maybe tonight you need to speak to one of us. Before you leave, you stop with your life group leader and you say, look, I have never accepted Christ, but I need to tonight. I need to be forgiven of my sin. So would you just do me a favor, just right now, quietly, just silently in your heart, would you just ask God that question?